Hey, this is Debbie from Ghostish Files, reminding you to tune in to Ghostish Files every other Saturday on www.ghostishfiles.net.tc at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there. Oh, man, I really gotta get out of here. Later.
Hi, this is Lisa Butler, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aaevp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe. That booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Oh. Hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey, hey.
Oh. In the house.
Oh. There's a kangaroo cake frosting in my
pony.
Oh. www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. See you tonight.
Hi, this is Tamara Thorne, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk with the hosts of Ghostbusting, Scott L. and Doug.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you just heard would have been followed by a whistling to make your instructions. Just making sure all arrivals are in this concludes this test of the emergency broadcast.
That's it. We're on the air. We're on the air just like that. Click.
Thanks, Will.
Talking. And
so busy, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Well, so just in case everybody didn't know, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And, of course, we have on the line the incredible Mr. Poos of PoosRadio.com, who's been schooling us on things.
He's telling it like it is.
Yeah,
he's telling it pretty much like it is.
Yeah, there's also the science you got to think about. So we got to think about the science behind all this stuff, too.
Well, yeah.
I try to tell him that there's also a romantic story, legend, urban legend, social component, but he's always back to the statistics.
The thing that we have to remember here between both entities, Mr. Poos and Ghostly Talk, is that there is common ground here. And the common ground is that there is a scientific viewpoint. We've been saying this since day one, that the research we do as individual paranormal investigators, what's a mouthful,
wow.
and as Michigan Ghostbusters or Ghostly Talk or whatever it is that week, it is from a science. We try to approach it from a scientific, solid viewpoint with evidence. Okay,
how scientific? That's the question.
Thank
right.
you.
Question that, with an R.
And that is the question.
That is the question.
How, we're looking at photos. We're looking at. Recording or listening to, I guess. You listen to recordings. We're looking at temperature readings and sometimes readings of the EMF levels, levels of what's EMF? Energy.
Electromagnetic field.
Electromagnetic field levels. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at all these different readings and measurements trying to find something out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's just not normal for that particular area.
Yeah.
I bet you find something out of the ordinary too, don't you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, not always.
Not always.
We went out last night and
nothing.
There was just two of us.
Yep.
Just two of us out there in this this train wreck site. And we were there for a good half an hour, 45 minutes, and we had nothing come out of the ordinary of any of the stuff that we were reading. Nothing, we didn't feel anything, we didn't hear anything except for frogs and stuff like that.
Well, we didn't know what they were.
They were weird.
They could have been crocodiles. They could have been anything. But.
We left there going, well, Doug was kind of bummed. He left there going, well, I really expected, maybe something anomalous to happen tonight. I'm like, well, it happened. We came out here. We gave it our shot. I'm cool with that. Not every night we We don't go out every night, Mr. Poos, and like come home with these massive, gigantic stories of us, like, you know, battling demons and dragons and stuff like that.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
It don't happen. Nine times out of ten, it's us sitting around in a room or shooting pictures, and that's pretty much it. We just take the evidence and bring it home, and we analyze it. And that's, honestly, I mean, of all the places we've been to over the last 3-4 years, I mean, there's only maybe a handful of places that we say, like, wow, there was something going on there. There was something really definitely strange going on there. So I want to make sure that that's very clear.
Well, I mean, if you're doing using any form of numbers going on there, that's what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the bottom line. That's where that is the common ground right there, is that the equipment we use, it is based on mathematics.
And how are you analyzing these numbers?
We use different programs.
Different pieces of software. With the audio, for example, I have a handful of programs at home that I use to analyze audio that we pick up.
And we look at the frequency spectrums if there is an anomalous noise,
uh-huh.
If it comes in a frequency spectrum that, you know, doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
Then there's something weird happening, we believe.
That's based on numbers primarily. Now, there is times where we have had things with audio, for example, that there was something that we heard there that just didn't belong there.
Right.
There's been times where we've heard something, and it's like it didn't really show up. Like, you know, numbers didn't prove it, unfortunately. We just know in our hearts that there's something we heard there that just didn't make any sense, unfortunately. I know that yourself would be like, well, that's a bunch of bull crap.
That can happen.
And that's cool.
I have to say that numbers always, you know, you can't always go by the numbers. Of course, if you're doing your statistics correctly, it sometimes helps, but it's always on the head of the experimenter or researcher to actually say whether or not these numbers have meaning. It's always on the head of the person, because not all the time. I mean, you won't. Sometimes you'll have somebody who's in a scientific field, and they find these numbers that have been they're significantly different, say, for something or another.
Okay.
And they still decide, well, you know, I'm not going to say that this is true. We won't reject the null. And they don't, even though they could. They have their research published.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? But they would certainly be eligible.
Mm-hmm. But numbers, what you're saying is that numbers, you know, generally they do prove all. Numbers are I've always heard people say, you know, numbers and mathematics are the language of the universe.
That is, in a way, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of everything pretty much it boils down to philosophy plus mathematics.
Yeah.
And really, philosophy is as the mathematics to it, as a form of logic.
Yeah, exactly.
So it just goes right down to mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the pretty much the bottom line of all we really need. It's probably the most useful tool, and
mm-hmm.
it is, that we humans have.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether people know it or not, it's mathematics that's running everything we do. From chemistry to physics and psychology. I mean, psychology has, of course, statistics. There's also a branch called mathematical psychology, where it's dealing with discrete mathematical structures, which is also a part of a computer science, a major component of computer science. And all that, even language, there's a part of linguistics. Someone you probably know or heard of actually did that. He's a big politician now. I can't remember his name. And he taught at MIT years ago. And now that he's a big political figure, he's also a linguist, and he not only took linguistics out of anthropology, made it a mathematical subject in a way, he also brought a psychology out of the Freudian crap up into the cognitive area. And it's cognitive that is what we use now, pretty much. And so all that still goes back to mathematics. Language, too. You know, the structure of grammar does have a pattern to it, and it's the pattern that's the part of the mathematics, not the numbers.
Because it's a repeating pattern.
Right. Mathematics is, it's, you know, the study of numbers, but it's also pattern, shape, form, all that crap, too. So people leave that out. They think, well, numbers, and they never get to calculus or discrete mathematical structures, and find out that some of that you don't even have numbers for, like graph theory.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have numbers. Well, you do, but you don't.
Well, the numbers make the graph, don't they?
Well, it's...
Graph theory is usually a 400-level class. I didn't take it.
Are you the computer guru? Which somebody...
Doug's the godfather on the computer.
I do the computer stuff.
Okay.
And yes, I use Linux.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I like Linux. It's a perfectly fine operating system. It gets, you know, hard rep sometimes because it's not the easiest thing in the world to use.
Nope.
But
it is interesting, and it works. I mean, it makes the computer go.
Mm-hmm. You can make it work with about anything. It's just you have a long time to do it. That's the problem.
Well, I did at one point in my life. Now, you know, being a working stiff, I don't know. Now I have less time. But
if you've used Linux, then you probably have... I guess if you've studied it formally or anything in college, you probably had discrete structures, though, right?
Well, I had studied... Not Linux itself, but I had Unix and operating system, general operating system classes and things like that. But Linux is a, you know, Unix base. It's like a, you know, its grandfather was Unix.
Mm-hmm.
So because I had studied that, it was a fairly easy transition. Although I have to say, I like Linux better than Unix. It's a lot more modern. So
yeah,
there you go.
I'll have to say.
But
reminds me of an old Solaris.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Solaris. They're opening Solaris up. It's going to be free next month. Or maybe
who wants the thing?
Well, that's what they must have finally figured out.
All the computer departments at universities throughout, I guess, the world, they're just replacing with Linux and...
Right.
Some other thing, you know, like, we ain't got time for that crap.
Right.
One school is putting in, what's it called, Blue Sky or Sky Blue, some off-the-wall operating system.
Why?
And
Linux is so pervasive.
Let's see, the other one, the B operating system, B.
Oh, B, yep.
Which I haven't heard of it since like 10 years or something, I don't know.
I think the company finally folded and, you know, I mean, it's like, okay. But everybody who used it said it was fabulous, but I don't know, I never tried it.
It is, you can download it and use it. And I've tried it, and it is, I mean, it has potential just to have people.
Not anymore.
It could operating system, but I like it better than I do the Macintosh. And I hate Windows, but I use it all the time, too.
Well, you're damned to use that nowadays. If
you
want
to sort of have to.
Make anything run, it seems. The idea, though, you were talking about linguistics as how it would apply to computer science and things like that. What is there a question?
Well,
there?
What I like is, for example, when we get EVP, now, okay, here's a whole branch of what we do, right? We do all this recording. We record onto audio tape. We record onto, videotape has also an audio track, and also into cassette recorders and things like that. And sometimes we get actual voices. Hey, Will, can you load up the girl from the bridge?
Yeah, pull it down.
Pull that down, because I want to play that for Mr. Poos and see if he's got a... An actual, like, opinion.
He's laughing at us. We're getting laughed at right now.
We're always getting laughed at, though. That's no big difference, But there's an actual recording that we took. Well, we didn't take it. Our friend Scott Kay of Indianapolis took this recording, and when Will finds it, Will, I want to play it for you. And it's a voice of a little girl saying, hey, I want to go. Or, no, just, I want to go.
Yeah.
And there was no little girl there.
There was no little girl there, yeah.
How long did it take for you to find that voice in that recording?
Not very long at all.
Not long at all. It, like, jumps out at you.
It jumps right out at you. And I
and,
don't...
And we didn't, you didn't have to analyze
this
one.
We didn't. This is one of those ones where, you know, we discussed the different classifications of these particular recordings. And I'm with you on this. I know exactly what your thought process is. Well, you're trying to find it in the audio.
Yeah, if you're really, really digging.
Some people, that is a problem.
Yeah,
People do find, and you can, if I wanted to go out and run a study on something, I could find what I'm wanting to find if I wanted to take the time to do it.
It's just like what I tell people. Yeah, I tell people this all the time, the same thing, where we do have people we meet that want to go ghost hunting for the first time, right? And we tell them, well, look, we're going to be going here, and we're doing a little project, we're going to hang out, you know, we're going to take some recordings and whatnot. Well, are we going to see any ghosts? And what's the thing we tell everybody? We tell them all the same. Yeah, well, in reality, I don't know what you're going to see, but if you really, really, really want to see one,
you'll probably see one.
You'll probably see one.
Yourself that you see one. Let's play this audio, though, for Mr. Puss. I want you to listen to this, and you'll hear the voice of a little girl going, I want to go, kind of thing.
Well, 5 seconds in.
Yeah.
All right, hang tight.
Oh, and you also hear me singing in there. That's probably a really bad thing.
Did you happen to catch that, though, Mr. Puss?
I know it's not like a little cat or like a little somebody squeaking their shoes.
Play one more.
Oh, you think it could be a squeak of shoes? Well, all right. Let's talk about that.
We're also doing this over the phone line too.
Yeah,
I know. This is
listen
ridiculous.
To this one more time and listen to it again. The problem with the squeaking shoe theory is we were on a wooden bridge.
Yeah.
Now that I'm listening to it, it just sounds like a little squeak in the background somewhere. It doesn't sound like anything. I don't hear it. I don't have the voice in it. But if I listen to it, now that I know what it is, that it's supposed to sound like. I mean, I'm biased.
Well, contaminated that already.
We contaminated by announcing it. But it's just little things like that that you're listening to these recordings, and then you get this, like, bizarre thing in sometimes English, but sometimes you don't get it in English.
Yeah,
and we're
that's
only,
also.
As far as we know, we're all only English speakers here, except for you. You've studied
Doug's going to be a German and a French speaker in about 16 hours, though. Apparently, his little training packets he has sitting on the table right now.
I bought instant immersion German and instant immersion French.
Yeah,
so.
Doug's going to be multilingual pretty soon here.
Well, German's a fun language. Oh, I love it.
Well, hopefully I'll be Einschweidrying as soon as possible. I don't know.
What?
Einschweidry. That's the 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, but you know what? You were talking about Spanish, and I took 2 years of Spanish in high school,
mm-hmm.
and I remember how to count in Spanish, and
oh,
it was
God.
So funny on one of your shows, Mr. Puss, you were saying, in Spanish, what was it? Unos, dos, tres, and then you do the cucaracha, and I laughed so hard.
I thought that's what the song did. You know, I don't remember that song. They used to make us sing it in Spanish, and I never could do it. I'm like, that's retarded. I ain't doing that. Teacher gets the mad God. It's supposed to sing. I know. Actually, I was like, you spoke in English. I'm getting in trouble.
It was so funny. I laughed so hard. Oh, my gosh. That was awesome, but it's uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. Actually, they all sound very similar. A lot of these, you know, European languages. So, you know,
I can cuss at you in Greek. That's about it.
Nothing. Although the FCC couldn't do anything about it, you know.
And I don't think they speak Greek either.
Yeah, they probably don't speak Greek, so we're good. We're good to go with that.
I can just see that now. They actually nailed us on that. There still is this idea that's kind of sticking out to me, Mr. Puss. Though you were discussing this idea of linguistics as it applies somewhat to, maybe I'm totally off the boat here, but linguistics as it applies to computer science. And I'm really curious if you have any knowledge into that. I mean, how would that apply? I mean, I understand there are programming languages that you use to write programs to do functions and
well,
to
those
do jobs.
Are very structured.
Yeah, they're very structured, but they're still a language, though. I mean, I know you can speak it, Doug. I've seen you speak to computers. It's amazing.
Yeah,
you're like Tarzan of the internet world. You go on there and you're like, I see you just like speak to these machines.
Yeah, I speak C very fluently.
You speak C
very
fluently.
Oh, God. People still do C?
I do.
I'm going to roll here. That's funny. People still do C.
I do C. I love C. I don't know why.
Well, you're using the Linux, so you probably need to know it.
Yeah. And well, all the programs that you download, pretty much, and then you have to do the make and stuff, those are usually written in C. So if you ever have to, like, I've looked at a couple of them and had to change a few things here and there, but but yeah, it's all C. So fortunately, I'm fluent in C. So
what is there? I mean, I'm curious to see what this marriage is, though, between those two idea. Well, how would you say idea structures or structures of belief? That they're, I mean,
linguistics
is it,
and
mathematics. Linguistics and the computer science. Yeah, well, mathematics too, because that's what computers are built on, based on, is mathematics. I know that.
What they're for.
Mm-hmm. That's what they were.
Complex mathematical functions.
I don't think they were for to play casino Windsor on, but apparently that's what they're for now.
That's what they do.
Well, yeah, that's the original machines that were built for was to compute numbers.
Yep.
That's what they did. You know, now we have these little plastic calculator thingies we can put in our back pocket to do the same job now, obviously.
Actually, I think my cell phone does that.
Yeah, my cell phone does it too, yeah. But there's this language thing I'm very curious about. I mean, this marriage between these two. What's the idea with this? I mean, is there anything, any insight into that you can give us?
Well, all I know from that, because I'm not a computer programmer. I don't know much in the programming language.
Uh-huh.
But when you have somebody who's studied linguistics and then they come up with these computer languages, I believe Perl maybe is one of them, I'm not sure on that. You see that from what I've been told now, it's a little easier to learn. Mm-hmm. They kind of structure it where it's not as foreign as, say, something like, what's this stupid little language? They use it for artificial intelligence, a Lisp. Something stupid like that.
Lisp and C Lisp.
It's fourth generation computer language, isn't it?
Yeah. Lisp. Yeah, it's 4GL, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Lisp is. It has structures within it that that lend themselves to artificial intelligence and things like that.
Okay.
But you can also write, you know, a calculator program in Lisp if you wanted. But why would you? You know,
okay.
You've got C for that. So.
Okay, that's not the easiest thing to think about is that particular language, whereas the Perl, it's not as hard, but when people study the language, they're trying to use them now, where you take how language works and you put it on over to computer science, or at least that's what they want to try. I don't know if they're still doing it, to make these programming languages a little bit easier. Of course, you can't just, write like that. Then you get those old stupid things like Lingo and all that old-timey...
Oh, one of the hardest computer programming languages on the planet is Forth. F-O-R-T-H. Brutal.
Brutal?
Brutal language. I'm glad it's dead. Now we'll get like 1,000 emails, you know.
Forth is the greatest thing ever! What are you doing? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know.
I do my word macros in Forth. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'll get
word
that.
Word macros. So, I know search engines. Yahoo, that's with an R. At one point, they were hiring for linguists to help with constructing, I don't know, adding some components to it.
That's true.
Of course, you have these that Microsoft, and what they needed is they needed to hire about 200 of them to fix the word grammar. But I don't know if they could do it or not, but when I use the grammar check thingy, I like to laugh at it because it's usually wrong.
Oh,
a lot of times it is.
A lot of times it is.
Very, very, very wrong sometimes when it comes to semicolons and commas, and I'm a grammar nut, Nazi as they call them, and I call them. So,
I can't imagine if I ever emailed you, Mr. Poos, you email it back with all the corrections. I can see this happening.
I have done that before. I don't
do like, screen print, put it into paint, and like just take their little red thing and like red
circle,
stuff all
circle,
over
circle, circle, you know, D minus.
Hey, you do that, though. I had friends who would email back in high school, and I would put all the corrections in brackets right after it. And then I'd send it back and say, correct it. And they'd send it back. Of course, you know, at the end, instead of sincerely, they'd have something, you know, potty mouth going on there. it offends some people when I correct them, but I don't care. Like, if you're too stupid to know that every day the adjective is not the same as the noun form, every day, two words, then I'm sorry. you're dumb. I tell people that. I get some mail, make them mad. I don't care.
I have to agree with you to a certain point. I mean, I communication, I've kind of gotten used to. A lot of us have gotten to this point.
We've lowered our standards, and that
may be the problem. One of the problems with the internet, right there, is that people have lowered their standards because it's like, I know, even in the workplace, I'll agree with you on this, Mr. Poos. I've received some emails in the workplace from people who are like five levels above me, like, you know, senior managers, junior managers, whatever you want to call them. They make a lot more money than I do. Let's just put it that way, okay? And they've sent me emails that clearly that I could see, and I am not a grammar. I'm not really a grammar Nazi, but I read them and went, "This is coming from someone who has X amount of years in the industry. They've been through this, they've been through that, and this person can't even communicate with me in an intelligent manner." It seems where sometimes, and I've actually received, you know, emails with sentences that made no sense to me. Like, I don't understand what you're saying. This is supposed to be a very solid means of communication here. Email, solid words. I use my eyes to see the words. The words go in my brain. That all makes sense. It's turned into information. I do what I have to do. And I agree with you. I've seen some emails from people that have been absolutely ridiculous.
Unforgivable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and if it's like, you know, like I said, if it's from anybody else, if it's just like, hey, how you doing, an email, you know, catching up from somebody, I'm not going to make a big thing of it. But I do agree there's some people that I receive email from that I expect a lot more from. Because they expect a lot more from me, usually. That's why I think it should go back and forth. But, I mean, I agree with you on that. That there
We've
is
lowered our standards over the years because of the internet.
Yeah, because of the speed of the internet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've stopped doing it. I still, you know, I'll do, when I email somebody, I've got an hour, I don't care. And, of course, unless it's somebody that, if it's a professor, of course, I'm not going to type junk and send it, but, and that's what a lot of my email back and forth is to and from is professors. And of course, you know, when you're speaking to somebody who probably knows that what you're saying is wrong, I have to that I do. But it's getting to where it'll offend some people. Not that I really care, because if you've ever listened to my show, I really don't care if I offend somebody. And, I guess it's something I do. If they don't like it, then oh well.
How did you get into the podcasting? Why are you... Because you've achieved an enormous amount of success. You've gotten noticed by all kinds of people. You've entertained me for hours on end.
And Doug's a tough sell.
Oh, man, you should hear some of my critiques of movies.
Doug is a tough sell.
And I have to say, I'm so impressed. I love it. What got you started into it?
I don't know. I just decided to do it one day, and that was it. I had of course, I've been listening to other podcasters, and I don't know, I just decided I would try it, and it stuck pretty fast.
And you've got a lot of friends too now. I mean, because Wanda Wisdom, or was that who was doing the drag me out of bed in the morning?
That's
phone
Wanda
call?
Wisdom.
Wanda Wisdom was doing that. And how did that go, by the way? Did it work out? Because he was doing it when, like,
the 31st of May, and all I can remember was the first person whom he called was they didn't answer. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. So Wanda was, she's pissed. I mean, she was so mad. And she did a whole show. Well, she wasn't mad, but she did a show on it. And that was kind of amusing. What I was wanting was so many people to sign up that they would have like 6 or 7 people at 7 o'clock in the morning. But and she's like, well, if somebody does that, then I'm just going to have to get help or something. But as far as I know, it went, it was successful. And she got a lot of listeners from doing that. And so, and that's actually the first person who knew about my show. And I believe that was, she's the one that sent a lot of listeners over to me. And, of course, they went their own ways and spread the poof elsewhere. So I guess that's probably, that's what I believe happened there, is that she got me started on that of bringing the people to me.
And it's kind of a gradual thing, it sounds like. You know, you're building up, you know, it's doing more and more as you go along. And
yeah, you have to have somebody generally to push people your way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have listeners in probably the first four or five shows, then most people are giving up. And I see that a lot there on the podcast Alley thingy. And that's the only thing. I've never pushed that on people. That a lot of people, they get a, gotta go vote for me. They just get worried to death over it. And I have mentioned it probably all of three times since I've been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't let that bother me. But as some do, and it's, you know, everything has to be rated these days. You got to critique somebody on something and all, you know, all the time. And for those that are just, I guess, new to podcasting,
mm-hmm.
that's something they worry about, is excuse me, whether or not they're getting the votes over podcast now. And so I have, I don't know how many listeners I have since I've got a file strolled all over the internet with an S, capital I, and ends with an S.
Internet.
Okay.
It's spelled with a capital I, though.
Of course.
Always.
And so I don't know how many listeners I have. And to do that, I generally put just one show up on, I'm using Bluehost as mine, and I stick it up there. And it gives me, I mean, it's, that tells me generally how many people are at least accessing that one show, and I can estimate from that and from the number of downloads. But I haven't done that in like 2 weeks now, so I don't know.
Well, it's an interesting thing, is, I mean, it's something that, and, I mean, I don't want to say anybody can do.
No.
But
it's not. I mean, you have to have the dedication, because I have to tell you, Mr. Poos, if I sat down, because I download everything to my MP3 player, and then as I drive to and from work, I listen to your show. I listen to Wanda Wisdom's show. I listen to several shows, and some paranormal shows, because I kind of do that, too. And I'm into that. And I listen to all these shows, and I'm thinking, what would I say? And even though I sit here behind this microphone, and you know what, 2 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
and I've done this for 4 years, I don't know what I would say. So I don't think I'm cut out for podcasting. I mean, I could try it, you mm-hmm. know, but I just don't think I'm cut out for it. I don't have the stick-to-itiveness or something, but if that's a word, and to go for an hour, you know, sometimes. You know, an hour, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less.
Yeah.
And just talk.
Well, the idea is just like Mr. Poos already said, that people start this thing up and they have these great aspirations and ambition to do this thing. But they, and like Mr. Poos said already, is that people always got to rate things all the time. So something always has to be rated. And we've been rated before by people.
Yes, we have.
Thankfully, people have been merciful, I guess. But, you know, we've been rated before just like that. But the thing that I know that has gotten us through all those, you know, I can count probably like on one finger, where we were like, oh, God. You know, people just don't like us. What are we going to do? We never worried about that, because we've always had a passion for what we're talking about here every week. And that's what makes this show go, to the point where we're like, look, we just love doing this thing. And there are a handful of people out there that appreciate what we're doing, and that's enough for us. We're not worried about that. But I can see where someone who just jumps into this thing says, okay, I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to do this. And then after a couple of weeks, they're like, no, you suck. You got to go away. Where they, I mean, a lot of people, they
why
really do worry about
it. Why does everything have to be rated?
Why
you know, because, like, for example, Ghostly Talk, mm-hmm. we started it out, you know, what, 3.5 years ago or whatever, I don't remember, but we started it out and we were doing, it's our hobby.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
It's our hobby, and we just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great fun, and we enjoy it, and we get to talk to all kinds of interesting people, like Mr. Poos and other folks on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's getting
starting
nasty
to really get
out.
Windy
I just saw tumbleweeds go by.
Tumbleweeds are blowing by.
We're under a tornado watch, Mr. Poos. So if we hang up on you, it's only because of the tornado. but we never were interested in ratings and challenges like that. And
those have just been a real cool bonus. We're like, wow, people really like to listen to our show. That's really neat.
Yeah.
We look at it like little kids.
But I can
look at
see
it, like,
where
wow.
somebody would be like, man, I didn't make, you know, the top 50 podcasts on Podcast Valley.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just not worth it.
Well, which is ridiculous in my
but
opinion.
It makes no
sense. You should approach it from the viewpoint we came at originally, was just that. This is a hobby, okay? And our big thing we said back in the day was just that. Well, and we had people that said, you know, well, you should do this more, and I don't like what you're doing there. Well, that's fine, you know. We're doing this show from a basement with, you know, with a minimal budget and basic equipment you can buy at any store
Radio
anywhere.
Shack.
Radio Shack. Do your own show. Okay?
Right.
And a lot of people did do that. That's really cool.
That was great.
We're really happy to see people do that. I don't think, and there are people out there, I know there's some people out there that got into this thing, saw how easy.
And they look at it as a competition.
Yeah, they look at it as a competition, and they look at it as, okay, I'm going to be a star for a night, or whatever night it is, or I'm going to make a whole bunch of money doing this, which is the most ridiculous idea I could ever think of. We never made a penny doing this show.
Right. Don't happen.
It don't happen. That right there is the wrong idea, I think, and that's the reason a lot of people, especially on podcasts, would be dropping off like flies like that. It's just, well, it wasn't everything I thought it was going to be. It wasn't going to be rock star this and I'm cool this and people are going to want my autograph over here. No, it isn't like that. You know, we all put our pants on and go to work every day. That's the bottom line. That's where I see people dropping off like that, you know.
Yeah,
well, that's a problem, I think. And when I was on the podcast, I think I'm like number 200 or something. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people...
Well, you better hang it up, Mr. Poosh. You're not in the top 10.
Yeah, you're not
in
the top
10.
I don't know what's wrong with that.
Yeah,
but
on.
I have to say, though, for one, I'm glad that you didn't let that get you down or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I listen to pretty much every show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm three shows behind right now, but because I, you know, work issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I have to say, I absolutely look forward to spending time listening to your podcast.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad you're keeping it up. I really am.
Well, I get that all the time. And, you know, that's why I don't push the podcast down. But some people, when I've seen, of course, this is the last month. I don't know who or what it was. It was around like 45, I guess, was the first, somewhere in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I go listen to their show. They have submit buttons, banners going on, vote for me, podcast down. And they probably don't have 100 listeners in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And their show wasn't that great. But, you know, people sometimes are like, okay, I'll do this, or they'll shut up. And I get email every once in a while, not often, people asking about the podcast daily thing, because they did mention that on the Greg and Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll say, well, you can go there, type in Poof, go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I started adding it to the net signature junk on the bottom of the email. But I don't expect them to, and I tell them that I don't care. You know, if you don't tell them to do it, they're not going to. I learned that was, I don't know if you ever heard of Yeast Radio with Madge mm-hmm. Weinstein.
Yeah.
It's linked up on your site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, she was in the top 10 for a long time. They had a great show. Of course, it's one of the first. She started doing this back last year, so she's an oldie. And been on Sirius. I mean, she's on the pod show thing on Sirius, I believe. And so that's like number 30 now. She's being number 8 or 9. And last time I was listening to her, she's like, I don't care. You know, you can go vote for that crap if you want to. Don't even bother me with it.
That's a solid idea.
I love that plan.
And, yeah, she's like, it's stupid. You know, I don't like having, everything's got to be rated these days. It's ridiculous, and it's just pushing people away. And it is. People find this is a competition, and it's really not. And I don't have time for what people, if somebody thinks my show is terrible, I don't care. It's like, you don't have to listen to me. I'm not on a public show.
Exactly.
Right.
Why do people spend so much time? I love, this is what cracks me up about so many things. And it's.
Oh, and wait, just to interject real quick.
Yeah.
Just so you know, the power is flickering on and off here in the Haunted Basement Studios. So
if we go off.
If we go off the air, and it's happening, if we go off the air, it's because the power went out and we got sucked away by a huge tornado.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening.
You still there, Mr. Poose?
As we speak.
See y'all and I.
Okay, good. All right. We're going to hold on by the. Literally by the seat of our pants, I am right now.
Hopefully we get through the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But
that's the idea that really gets, it grinds me, and it makes me, I mean, it's funny, and I know you think it's funny too, Mr. Poose, is that this happens anywhere. You're at work or you're in some organization. You can put together phenomenal work all the time, and yeah, that's great, whatever. But as soon as something doesn't go so right, you make a mistake, something doesn't go that right. It may be terrible. You never hear the end of it. People put so much effort, it seems, into
criticizing
yeah. when it'd be more positive and beneficial. Where criticism is a good thing. The criticism's what made this show what it is today.
Constructive criticism is different than just out and out.
Yeah, yeah. We've had people send us very intelligent emails explaining their points, like, I think you guys suck because of this, right? I think you guys suck because of this, and here's the reason that you guys suck. Give us some solid ideas. That's totally cool. But I've seen other people get slammed all over the place for no reason whatsoever, and it seems there's so much energy that's put into this. There's just so much energy being put into this hardcore criticism when there's usually not anything to back up their claims whatsoever. And you have the right idea, and I know that's how we think down here too. I mean, this is how we do it. There might be some changes here and there. There might be a different idea. We might add this here and there. But generally, it's the same format. Three idiots in a basement talking about ghosts. That's what it comes down to.
That's what we do.
That's what it comes down to, generally. You know, and we love what we do. We have a ball doing it. And the podcasting thing, I mean, I'm still new to it. Doug's instructing me and showing me all these cool things. But the bottom line, the belly of it that really grabs me is that this is more of an opportunity for people to come out there and talk about things that you're not going to hear.
Go until the power goes out.
You want to go until the power goes out?
Go until the UPS dies. Yep. UPS, not United Parcel Service. I'm talking about uninterruptible power supply.
Mm-hmm.
When it dies, we're off the air. That's the plan.
But that's what I think is, that's what I admire about it right there, is just that idea itself, is that there are more. This is more of an opportunity. Because, I mean, when we started this thing out, we had to get a little bored. And Doug, with his engineering genius, was able to put this thing together. I don't think I would have been able to pull this thing off myself unless I had learned a whole bunch of new stuff. But Doug pulled it together. Now there's this whole other idea where it seems like all you need to do is just basically get a tape recorder, a digital recorder of some sort.
Right. You use an iRiver, right, Mr.
I
Prince?
Because that's all my other people, you know, Wanda, John, all these people are using. You know, they just said iRiver is probably the best thing. So I went ahead and got one. And they told me, that's another good thing, is the people that are doing this, you will never see anybody as nice or as helpful as those that are already doing it. And so that's what I got all my information from these people.
Yeah. Excellent. And that's such a great thing that you can learn from other people that are already, you know, doing it. They're already circulating. They're already on the circuit, man. They're in the scene, you know, that they're willing to help you out. There are a lot of communities out there you're trying to break into or whatever, where people are like, nope, I got my thing, man. You're not going to know anything about it at all.
it's rude.
I've seen
it's
it.
It's rude. Isn't it?
It's very
rude. That's listened to Wanda Wisdom, though. You know, that's a really, really nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually did the interview. I don't know if any of you all heard. I did an mm-hmm. interview with her
too
long ago. But, it's things like that, I guess. It's probably the reason I continue to do this. Because now after the Michelle said, that's when all the email started really flowing. I get about, it's probably 10 or 15 a day now.
That's amazing.
And the comments, I used to get a lot of that. I think I've only got about 3 or 4 every day, maybe something like that now. But some of the other people are, they're starting their own shows, and I really like it when somebody emails and say, you know, I'm starting my own podcasting thing now.
Well, isn't that a great feeling to know that you may have inspired that person to do it? To me, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, it's certainly new, because you don't really know what will happen. These people that do it, and they might be really, really big. They might get a lot of attention. That's really feel for the
attention. And Delphi is a, you know, sometimes
it's a natural thing.
It's one of the
hardest feelings to overcome.
But at the same time, I think, especially in this, because this is a whole bunch of people from all over the world doing something, getting their voices out on the internet, or, you know, it started with just, you know, websites, and now it's up to podcasting and things like that. Getting on the internet, putting their stuff out there is an alternative to, you know, MSNBC and,
yeah.
you know, Clear Channel stations all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And to put the, you know, this kind of effort out and to listen to this kind of amazing stuff,
yeah.
it finally is happening.
See, my biggest thing is information. My biggest thing is information. Mr. Poos, I mean, I laugh out of my seat when I listen to your show. I know
you are funnier than I think you know.
It's a great time. It's a good time. But there are things that, you know, you got to look more than just the surface all the time. Yeah, there's comedy there. We laugh. We do a lot of funny stuff on this show. It just kind of just happened that way. It just happens here and there. We laugh and goof off and stuff like that. But the number one thing we know about our show especially is that we're the alternative to the bigger shows that are out there that deal with the same type of subject matter.
Well, we're not really alternative. I think we're in addition to.
Well, now it is, yeah.
Yeah, we're in, well, now we've got...
Yeah, and that's a great feeling.
But we're in addition to the bigger shows, and it's good to have a variety. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I like the variety of paranormal shows. I also like the variety of podcasts.
Mm-hmm. So, I just think it's great that there's people out there that, you know, that...
want to do it.
Regular people that just, hey, I'm going to try this thing, you know, and maybe they, unfortunately, they may be a little too worried about what people think about them, and that's an unfortunate thing, because, I mean, I wish...
Yeah, Mr. Poos. Because you don't have an intro, you know, like an intro jingle thing.
Yeah, that does
it does not lessen your show at all. Because I whether you had one or not, it doesn't matter. I'd still keep listening.
Well, see, I thought, you know, I could construct one, but I'm like, I'm way too tired because the podcasting thing takes a while. But I'm also, since I'm not in the in some class right now, I'm still having to study for them. Plus, I'm in a research class and have to read all that stuff. So my day is really, really generally loaded. Well, not too bad, but then I listen to these that do it, and I'm like, eh, you know what? I don't want to have to go through all that. So I probably won't even use one. I don't know. I might use something sometime, but I doubt it.
Right. So, there was one show where you said, this is Mr. Poos, and now cue the intro thingy that I don't have. I thought that was awesome. I had a blast with that beginning. That was fantastic. But we here, we do have one. We have one, but...
It was donated.
It was donated, yeah. We had Scott K. Who, yeah. from Indianapolis, who captured that squeak on tape. he actually put that together for us.
Yeah.
And now we've got the Are You Ready for Some Ghostly Talk theme song, which is pretty cool. So eventually, you know, something could come your way. You never know.
Yeah.
And that took us by surprise.
Well, somebody sent a person from a blog. I just sent a whole... HTML, all these images things said, well, here's a design thing. Because I'm like, I'm too lazy to do that. So they just sent something and I stuck it up.
Awesome.
And it's like, saved me a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to complain. And I'll use not anything. Because what I had up was kind of ugly and I didn't care. Like, if you come here to look at this, you just got problems.
That's what blows us away, though, too, because we've had a lot of people do that for us in the past. Like, for example, Scott K. kind of gave us this, you know,
this awesome intro song
that, I mean, I'll never forget the day I was like, it was like very early in the morning I had to go to work. And I'm sitting there like, and I just decided to hit the Ghostly Talk website and see what was going, you know, the forums. And there it is. Hey, I got you guys an intro song. Download it. Check it out. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, whatever. Let's see what it's all about. And it's this full-blown production. It's like just, you know, the whole band's jamming out, and we got a great singer on there. It's a really, really great song. Along with just tons of graphics people have sent us, artwork, ideas, piles of stuff. I mean, it's all archived, and I keep it all myself. And there's just, wow. The mics picked that up, probably.
Do you think the mics picked that up?
The mics picked... Did you hear that, Mr. Poos?
That was thunder.
That was thunder. That was thunder.
That's a sissy thunder. That is like, that ain't even real thunder.
But we've got all these cool things, you know. It seems like you're going through the same things we are. It's a great feeling. I love it.
And it'll be a growing phase. And I have to say, thank you for all the hours and hours of entertainment and instruction. Because I learn from you as well. And I'm sure
you learn from all the time. I'm like, I don't know what you can learn from me.
It's just amazing. I learn something new every show, and I appreciate it all.
Yeah, it's a great thing. I think, guys, I think it's starting to get really violent out there.
I know.
Why don't we cut off here? And we've got a couple minutes.
There's only 5 minutes left. If the
Mr. Poos, we don't want to kill your last 5 minutes. But I'd rather be able to close this thing out in somewhat of a professional manner than going. Yeah, thank you. I don't want that.
That'll be the end of the show.
I don't want
cut
that.
Right off.
Yeah, I don't want that.
You guys.
Let's call it a night. Let's call it a night here.
Mr. Poos, your website, of course, is www.poosradio.com.
How do you spell that?
P-O-O-S-E radio.com.
Excellent. Guys,
right?
Go check it out. You know,
everybody's got to check it out.
The bottom line here, that we love Mr. Poos's radio show, but
we
the
do.
Thing that grabs me by the heart is just, it's another person out there with a different, somewhat of a different medium, but they're out there doing it like we are every week.
He does every day.
Well, yeah, every day. We do it every week.
We do it once a week.
But they're out there doing it every day, is Mr. Poos's situation, and they don't really care what people think.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it because they like to do it. And, I mean, Mr. Poos has even more of a laid-back attitude than we do, I think.
Yeah.
But it's really, it's rare that we get to talk to, you know, other, obviously Mr. Poos doesn't do a paranormal talk show, but he had some great ideas on some of the things that we're very interested in.
Right, and the psychology behind it.
Yeah.
Which, of course, makes a lot of
which
sense.
Which, really, a lesson was taught today. I hope it was taught to a lot of people that, hey, you know, I mean, we talk about it lightly, but we're still biased a bit because, you know, we deal with this subject matter every week, right? So it's easy to kind of fall into that pitfall.
And sometimes you need a...
Mr. Poos just tells you
you're
full of crap.
Yeah, you need a slap in the face and
skip the tiffle, you said.
We sure are. We sure
you can Google for that. Skip the tiffle personality disorder, DSM-4. It'll tell you. That's a real thing.
It'll tell me all about myself.
We're going to check it out for sure.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Poos.
Thank you for having me here.
Oh, man.
This was amazing.
It's been a pleasure, I guess.
And if you ever hear anything about, like, paranormal stuff, like a legend or a story or something, just remember
that. Well, we do have a little thingy down here. I'll email you the link to this thingy. You probably, I don't know.
We might,
known.
You better watch out, because we might come down there and actually check it out. We'll be out there camped out.
It's a dollhouse thingy.
Oh, really?
Oh, I've heard stories about dollhouses. So, yeah, we may actually
check
it out.
We'll definitely check it out. Sure.
See what happens. So, thank you, Mr. Poos.
Thank you, Mr. Poos.
I appreciate it. It's been great meeting you.
It's been great meeting you, Mr. Poos.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me here, and fabulous day, I guess.
Awesome. We certainly
or night, or whatever it is.
Well, right now it's night and a stormy one.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly out here.
So
don't blow your house away.
I hope not. So, everybody, poosradio.com.
Definitely.
So, okay.
Have a good night, Mr. Poos. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, that was loud. What was that?
I don't know what that was, but...
Dink! It sounded like somebody smashing metal against metal.
Right.
That was really loud. All right, let's call it a night, though, before we lose everything.
Really,
this is ridiculous,
scary, and I have
man.
To say thank you so very, very much, Mr. Poos, for coming
it's
out.
Been an interesting night here.
I absolutely
was talked about.
Love his show, and he's got great ideas, just great information, and it's fun.
We were nervous about. We were all. I mean, well, Will's like, we gotta bring him on. And I'm like, well, dude, does he have a book or does he? Have, what's going on here? What do we do here?
No, he's got a podcast.
He's got a podcast.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Hilarious. Bring him on. Okay, well, bring him on.
It was great. I'm so happy.
Per usual, it's always way more than we expect it to be.
Again, I'm
beside myself.
It's about people, and it's about how interesting people are.
Yeah.
And I absolutely, I had a great time. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Remember, our own website is www.ghostlytalk.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, check out pioneer.rollo.net, R-O-L-O, for all the other great shows.
W Paranormal's on next, man.
Yep, and W Paranormal's on next, so stay tuned in. And thanks, for everybody, for listening. We will be back next week, same time, same Pioneer Radio channel. Pow, kapow.
Yes. Yeah. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We're out of here. See y'all.
Science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.